You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This is Jay Horowitz with another edition of Amazing Mets Conversations with my old friend, David Johnson. David, you realize we've known each other now for 42 years. The first time that we met, you probably don't remember, was during the strike year in 1981. I was going down to Jackson, Mississippi. You were managing the Jackson Mets. You took us to a steakhouse in Jackson. There were 14 or 15 people there. I was going to be the big man, put on my Mets credit card. Unfortunately, I lost my wallet, and you played. I think you said something. Typical New Yorker, right? we got better after that, though, Davey. We had to share a lot of good meals together. Landmark, 40 years ago this October, we hired you. During the middle of the Philly-Baltimore series, I remember your opening remarks at the press conference where when Frank announced you, Frank Cash, and you said, "Why did it take me so long to hire me, Frank?" Remember that, Davey?
Yeah, I remember how I said I like to work with smart people.
You had just come off, you know, winning a championship at Norfolk, Tidewater, and won a championship at Jackson, to do that. Did you think that the success would come that quickly? I mean, the Mets really were a bad team for a number of years. I mean, really, 73 was the last time they were in the playoff. I mean, you managed a lot of these guys in the minors. But did you think your first year in 84 – with 90 games. Did you think it would happen that quickly?
Yes, I did. You know, I mean, I had some great managers. I mean, Earl Weaver was a great manager. I learned a lot from Earl. I was a middle intern, and I always liked to know, you know, why he was making such a change and why he hit somebody else, you know. And I was statistically oriented because I have a BS degree in mathematics. So it was easy for me. And the idea of creating a good team, you know, 84 was a typical year that would happen when you manage your team properly. Well, we were outscored by 18 runs on the whole year. And that year we were 18 games over 500. So you did the math on that. And you said, well, how did that happen? Well, when we had a lead or had a chance to win, I had a group called A, which was my better group of relievers. And when we were behind, and it's like we weren't going to, I didn't want to overuse my good ones. Well, I would use the guys that weren't as tough to hit. And then when the season was over, I said, we need to balance the other side of the bullpen because all pitchers need, basically, you know, in spring training, the pitcher throws one day, rest. Throws another the next day. Let's say custom. It's on every other day before they even throw batting practice. And starters, you know, they pitch a game maybe five or six innings and they have a day off. Then it's on the side, and then they usually have a 5-man rotation, two more days, and pitch. So I always wanted to keep them on their regular rest programs. And to do that, I mean, you had to pick guys, you know, that had their rest. And that's what we did. And then when I got better both sides of the bullpen, then the next year, well, I think we won 98. Then finally in 86, we won 108.
You were really the forerunner for Adam Lennox, right? I remember being in your office at the computer, plotting things out. I mean, I don't remember a manager doing that at that point. I mean, what'd you say? Did you with a forerunner to all the stuff that's going on today?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I was doing that in Shreveport. I was doing that in Rochester or wherever, up north. But you keep track of who's successful against certain people and how to position the outfielders and the infielders. And that's, you know, I don't have that great a memory, but my computer did. Fact is, as I got higher up, I hired a little programmer to do my input and all that stuff at my direction. And then, of course, when I got to the big leagues, I had some young genius mind plug in stuff in my little, translated into my picture catcher's book, positioning and all that stuff. I was doing that
Debbie, you know, one of the ones you have to be what made it so successful is you never always were willing to take a chance, to take a risk. I go a couple of games that I never remember go back. We're playing the Pirates, I forget which year it was, and you had Rusty in the outfield, and you had him flip with Clint Hurdle or something.
No.
Remember that, you know, there was Rusty in the good run in those days.
Right.
And then in the Cincinnati game, the famous Cincinnati game, we had the fight with Eric Davis slid into Ray and Ray clocked him. And a lot of guys let him wind up with Carter at third base and, you know, Jesse and Roger, or Jesse Rusk, Roger McDowell, alternating batters. So you're always willing to, you know, to take a risk and, you know, go with your gut, right?
That was a percentage risk because the reason I kept moving Rusty to left field to right field is I'd have him in left field when the chances were about 75-80%, they'd hit it to right field. And then when it came up, they hit it to, right, to left field, I moved it to right. And didn't work out too good because they hit one to Rusty and caught it.
Yeah. And Dean, I think Roger made the last out. He caught a ball in the outfield. I mean, Roger and Jesse were two pretty good, athletes. So they did that.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, let me take him to the spring of 86. We win 98 games the year before. You know, I mean, if there had been a wild card, we would have been, it'd be a practically every year we've been in a playoff. So I remember your speech like it was yesterday. You said, not only are we going to win, we're going to dominate the league. And I remember even some of your old players, they kind of looked at each other, is he kidding me? I mean, why is he doing that for? You weren't afraid to put pressure on the guys, right, Dave? Because I guess you knew what kind of team you had.
This wasn't really me putting pressure on the players. This was me knowing that I had solid players in every position, and every position player and every pitcher knew exactly their role. The one thing about chemistry, you know, what people don't understand, it's not chemistry from winning. It's chemistry when you have 25 guys in a room and they all know they have their roles. And if it was a, you know, a utility infielder, his role was known. He was going to bench it, maybe play every, you know, once a week or something like that against certain pitchers. And they knew if they did well, I would expand their role. And when everybody on the team knows their role coming out of spring training, exactly their role, and knows that they do well, I'll expand their roles, that everybody's happy. That's called chemistry.
Isn't Danny Heap maybe the perfect example of what you're talking about? He had like four or five pinch hits when he played. He always did well.
No doubt about it. That was his role, and he knew it, and he was ready for it. You know, I didn't have to look around when his role was coming up because he already had his gloves on at bat. He was ready to do it in the middle. The object in the big leagues, if you're mentally prepared to do your role, that's as important as being physically prepared.
So that year, the welcome home dinner, we start off 2-3. We lose three games in a row. You go up before the crowd that night, you know, 1,000 people, whatever, in a hotel. And you said, calm down. We're not going to lose many more games the rest of the year. So we lost the rest of the year. We have 51 regular season games the rest of the year, and a couple more in the playoffs. So I think your prediction turned out pretty well.
Yeah, I think so.
For me, it stands out that year in 86 was a sweeping in St. Louis. Desert Davey would win in there. And, you know, Cardinals had been our nemesis for so many years. We swept them in four games. And that kind of set the tone the whole year.
Well, let me tell you something. You know, I built a fishing camp in Ocala, Florida on Orange Lake. We had a house there. And I invited Bill Robinson. He liked to fish, and Mel Stottlemyre, and also invited my buddy Whitey Herzog, because I always watched what Whitey did. In fact, I convinced Frank Cashing to make two trades. I convinced him to, number one, Howard Johnson was a good left-handed batter, but he couldn't hit too much right-hand. So I picked up Ray Knight to compliment him. Same way with Bachman at second. And Herzog had guys in the bullpen. He had a bunch of left-handers he'd bring in for Bachman and Hojo. And when he do that in a good situation, I had Knight and Tuffle. And so I knew I had the matchup that I wanted in a certain situation, not his matchups. And it worked out.
And
I, you know, I'd never forget because Whitey, I would talk into the night with Whitey, learning how he thought. And I remember one night we talked so long, and then I went to bed in the house, and Whitey was outside sleeping on the ground.
Really?
Yeah.
He had the girl wake him up and said, man, let's go fishing.
I remember he used to come into our locker room. He used to steal Howard's bats occasionally.
Oh, yeah, he thought.
And Howard had him plugged.
Yeah.
The umpires take bats from him. And they take him and put him in the umpires would take and put him in the umpire's room and not send the bat boy down there to get him.
In 86, you know, everybody talks about Game 6 was a great game. But for me, the game in Houston was the most nerve-wracking. For me, I remember going down to the locker room, sitting there from the 8th inning to the 16th. You know, I didn't really move. You know, and I think remember that game used Ojeda, Aguilera, McDowell, and Orozco. I think four pitchers covered 16 innings. That wouldn't happen today, would it, Davey?
No, but those guys were used to those kind of roles. McDowell was my mainstay because McDowell, I mean, he had an unhittable sinker, and he could go out there and throw sinkers and get ground balls off that. I had a guy named Doug Sisk who would either get a ground ball or walk him. And I never panicked when he walked a couple guys because I knew he could still get a ground ball, and he would. So it was, again, using guys in their roles that they could be successful.
And what are your bench moves? Was probably wasn't on the field, was, you know, with the team, everybody was a little worn out from Houston, you know,
That was the greatest series because you have to understand they matched up perfect with us. I mean, they had the same strengths in all the areas that we did. And so I remember talking to Bill Stoudemire one inning. I think we went up one run and I told him, well, when it was two outs, I said, well, it doesn't gain burning long. Yes. And at that time, some guy came up and hit a home run. And kind
of been I remember. Speaking of Mel, you know what the most famous picture is? I mean, you must have seen it a million times. It's two outs, bottom of the 10th inning, losing by two runs. The cameras shown on you and Mel sitting together in the dugout by themselves. You know what phone I'm talking about?
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, what do you remember what you were thinking? I mean, I know we never gave up, I mean, but that's kid, I mean, how many two strike counts do we have? You know, kid got a hit, Mitch got a hit, Ray got a hit, and Mookie's at bat. But for a while there, it was kind of dark.
No, we had Schiraldi in the minor leagues, and I knew Schiraldi. He was a tough pitcher. He had some tendencies, and so did Mike Stanton. You're always confident that the guy's going to come to you. I was always confident. Guys were probably getting ready to go home. The other team was standing on the top step thinking they won.
We congratulated the Red Sox on the scoreboard. See?
Right, exactly.
Congratulations, the Red Sox.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. You guys know I'm always up for a good MVP story, and one of the best stories is Wasabi Technology. Wasabi is the world's hottest cloud storage company, and it's become the go-to provider for professional and collegiate sports teams, including 20 Major League Baseball teams like the Red Sox, and NHL teams like the Bruins and Vancouver Canucks. Even the Liverpool Football Club is getting in on the Wasabi action. So, why is Wasabi the MVP? Well, Wasabi was purpose-built to free businesses from skyrocketing storage costs and unpredictable transaction fees that the Amazons of the world are charging. In fact, Wasabi is up to 80% less than those hyperscalers and doesn't charge a cent for businesses to access their data. From Wasabi's AI-enabled intelligent media storage, Wasabi Air, to the industry's only cloud storage service with triple protection against cyber criminals, data deletion, and ransomware, Wasabi's taking the lead in driving innovation in data storage and helping sports teams to unleash the power of their data. Wasabi, another Boston-based championship team.
The team in 86 team is a PR guy then. kept me hopping. I didn't know what to expect when I got to the ballpark, this, that, and the other thing. How was it managing all these personalities, Keith and Darling and Straw and Doc and Wally and Lenny? I mean, with just so many different personalities you had to contend with.
Well, the main thing, again, when I first came there, the cashier said, boy, we've got clicks. You know, Carter's got clicks with guys around him. Hernandez got clicks with guys around him. And everybody's in their own little group. But I felt, you know, I said, you guys all have different personalities and whatever. And I said, you know, Hernandez was a captain. And I said, okay, I'm going to hire Carter as a co-captain. And that brought guys more together too. So now that they would, you know, they were both great leaders, Carter leading the pitchers, Hernandez leading the infielders and outfielders on where to play. And it was just, you know, I used the talent and told them, don't keep doing what you're doing, guys. You know, and the main thing about a clubhouse is you want it to be happy. You want guys to want to come to the clubhouse, come in early. And if you have a happy clubhouse, they come in early and they communicate. And that's what we did. And I thought it was what you want to have with every ball club, no matter how talented or whatever.
Dare, I just got to mention Doc before we go. In 84, you know, in Norfolk, and he had struck out 300 in Lynchburg in 83. You had to fight like heck to bring him on the team. A lot of the people in the front office thought he needed more seasoning. And you had taking the thing that, you know, that, hey, he did all he could do. Well, he's ready to go. And remember, you told him really the last day it's been training and he was on the team.
Yeah, well, first of all, I had Randy Myers. Randy Myers would be throwing the catcher and half of them would hit the screen behind the catcher and the other half would be in the strike zone. Well, and I had another guy that was well thought of the same way. This little 17-year-old pitcher came along, and he set the catcher on low and away, and about all of them would hit low and away on the strike zone. Then he'd move it to the other side, and he'd hit some of the other side. Well, I remember asking Doc, I said, he was doing this with his fastball. I said, Doc, how do you grip your fastball? Here's a 17-year-old says to me, well, I grip it with the seams when I want to put a little giddy-up on it, and then I grip it. I mean, when I want a little lateral movement, and when I'm doing a cross change, when I want a little giddy up on it, I say that'll work. So he was very mentally prepared as well as physically for it. So he was ready to pitch in the big leagues. I mean, more so than anybody else I could have put on my club. And I had to fight for it with passion.
You didn't back away from anything, Davey. Hey, one of my other great memories is from the plane ride, we tore the plate up, and Pacific Airline wanted us to pay $10,000. And I remember,
I remember that.
Europe to check up.
Well, no, here was the deal. We just came from Houston,
right,
and beat a great club,
right.
And it was a very fought series, and the wives were on the trip home, and they drank beer. And I had a rule on the club, you know, make sure you put your beer cans in paper bags and whatever. I'm letting it keep you from drinking beer on the flight, but make sure you don't leave a messy plane. Well, on that one, the wives had their cans all over everywhere. And so I blamed it on the wives. And I said, I don't think it was $10,000, it was $5,000. I said, guys, don't worry about it, I'll pay it.
No. It added the edge to a lot of guys, I know. It really, truly did. Hey, Davey, I appreciate the time. You've been a good friend all these years, and we'll stay in touch. And, you know, if you ever need anything from me, a lot of good memories. I can't believe, so it's 37 years ago in 86, 116 wins. Hasn't been repeated much. Everybody says that series probably one of the best, if not the best, in World Series history. I'm like, you're going to answer what's it? You know what? But I always appreciate Dave when we dealt with. I was still a young kid coming out of college. You trusted me. We talked. You trusted me with information. You took me. You asked my advice on things. I would go back and forth. And that, for somebody in my position, it was really invaluable. They kept.
Then you were the best. You were the best. I mean,
well,
I had always trust you. You know, I mean, I trusted your opinions.
Yeah,
I trusted. You had a tough job with PR director.
Just especially with some of our players, Dave. you never knew what to expect, but it meant a lot to me. He used to pick my brain, answer my opinion. After all these years, I haven't forgotten.